Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
Open up to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Beginning at verse 1. After these things I saw, and behold, or look, a door had been opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard, as of a shofar. Trumpet in Greek, in Hebrew, it's the shofar. It is the sound of the ram's horn that would cause the children of Israel to collect together as a congregation. At every feast and at every function in the feast, the shofar was used to give signals to the congregation of Israel. It is translated shofar. The shofar that I heard speaking with me, saying, "Come up here, and I will show to you what is necessary to happen after these things." And immediately I became in spirit. Notice it's not capitalized, and that's the literal translation. Became in spirit. That is in the spirit realm. And behold, or look, a throne was set in heaven. And upon the throne, one sitting. And the one sitting was likened to the appearance to a stone of a jasper and sardius stone. And a rainbow was around the throne likened to the appearance of an emerald. And all around the throne were thrones, 24. And upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, having been clothed in white garments. And they had upon their heads golden crowns. And out of the throne goes out lightnings, and thunders, and sounds. Some people translate it voices. And seven lamps of fire burning were before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne, a glassy sea like to crystal. And in the midst of the throne, and around the throne, were four living creatures, being full of eyes in front and behind. And the first living creature was likened to a lion, and the second living creature was likened to a calf, and the third living creature had the face as a human, and the fourth living creature was likened unto an eagle flying. And the four living creatures, each one of them, had six wings all around, and being full inside of eyes. And they did not have rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God the Almighty, the one who was existing, the one who is existing, and the coming one." And whenever they shall give the four living creatures glory and honor and thanksgiving, that is, the living creatures should give it, to the one sitting upon the throne, that is, the one who is living forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before the one sitting upon the throne, and they worship the one living forever and ever. And they throw their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, O Lord, to receive the glory and the honor and the power, because you created all things. And on account of your will, they exist and they were created." chapters 4 and 5 of the book of Revelation bring us to the throne of God. And we start, actually, with chapter 4, verse 1, we start the third and final section of the book of Revelation. There is a phrase that's found twice in verse 1 that gives us this breakdown. It starts out with, after these things, meta tauta. And again at the end of the verse, he is to be shown what is necessary to happen, meta tauta, after these things. That's a key phrase because in chapter 1, verse 19, when John on the island of Patmos had the Lord appear to him, and the Lord was standing behind him, and the Lord was speaking to him as of a trumpet or as a shofar, a ram's horn. And he told him to write down three sections. First of all, he said, John, I want you to write down what you have seen. That would be the vision of Christ in chapter 1. Write down the things which are, that would be the things of the church in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. And then he says, and then write down the things that are going to happen, meta tauta, after these things, after the things of the church. So verse 1 of chapter 4 contains this phrase, and it's not by accident. After the things of the church, after the vision of Christ in chapter 1, what John saw was a door had been opened in heaven, and the first voice which he heard as a trumpet, because even though the Greek word literally means trumpet, it doesn't mean, you know, the little three-valved, you think that Gabriel's got his horn going out there because he taught all the people down in New Orleans on Bourbon Street how to play, and he's kind of rocking out with a trumpet. Well, that's not what that's not what it represents. It represents the shofar, the Jewish ram's horn. The first voice which I heard as a shofar speaking with me, saying, come up here and I will show to you what is necessary to happen after these things. So chapter 4, verse 1 starts the third section and final section of the book of Revelation. The things that are to happen after the things of the church in chapters 2 and 3. Also, we take note of verse 1 and the breakdown of the chapter. Verse 1 is the introduction to this chapter, which we're taking today. In chapters 2, verses 2 through 8, we have the description around the throne, the description of things around the throne. In verses 9 through 11, we have a description of the activities around the throne. So 2 through 8, the description of the things around the throne. There are 9 of them. And then verses 9 through 11, the description of the activities going on around the throne, and there are 4 of those. Chapter 4 will be a continuation, but our attention will be on chapter 4 for the next couple of weeks. Well, first of all, we know what meta tauta, both the beginning and last of this verse, what it's making reference to. We're now opening up this section that is after the things of the church. I'm going to relate to you some evidences that are pointing to a certain fact that many believers hold to, and that is that the church is going to be raptured. But exactly when, that is the argument. It is interesting that meta tauta, the things after these things, happens after the church. That an opened door, that is a door that's already open. When John was able to see this door opened in heaven, it had already been opened when he saw it. And so prior to him seeing it, the door is open. And through the door, the Lord, he's the one who in chapter 1, verse 10, he was the voice that spoke as a shofar horn to John. He said, come up here. So John was to pass through the door and enter in, and from chapter 4, verse 1, all the way through chapter 19, is that he will be viewing everything that's happening upon the earth from heaven. And from chapter 4, verse 1 through chapter 19, we don't see the church on earth anymore. None. Not there. And so many hold the view that chapter 4, verse 1 of the book of Revelation represents that which is to happen after the age of the church. That is the rapture of the church when the saints are taken up into heaven to be with the Lord, and then the judgment will break out upon the earth. And I'm presenting the evidences to you here. I just gave you one that the church is not even mentioned anymore. Chapter 4, verse 1 to 19. John is taken up in the spirit realm to heaven so that he is not on the earth while these things are happening. He's seeing it from a heaven's view as he represents the church to many people. So chapter 1, verse 19 gives us the breakdown for the book. Chapter 4, verse 1 is the beginning of the third section here in the book of Revelation. Secondly, I want to draw your attention to this door. We've seen it before, expressed exactly as it is here. A door had been opened, or an open door, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 8. Revelation chapter 3, verse 8. The Lord says, I know your works. Behold, I have given a door having been opened before you, and no one is able to shut it, for you have little power, and you kept my word, and you did not deny my name. So God is presenting a second door. To the mention of the first door is when the Lord was ministering a promise, not only for an open door here on the earth, but this open door in chapter 4, verse 1. This is for the church to go through. It's the exact same phrasing as Revelation chapter 3, verse 8. It's for the church to go through. Here on heaven, we have doors that are open. Paul doesn't use the exact same phrase, but four times Paul uses the phrase of an open door or a provision of a door for the preaching of the gospel. In Acts chapter 14, verse 27, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, and Colossians chapter 4, verse 3. And even James, in James chapter 5, verse 9, says that the one who judges is standing at the door, ready for his entrance. Some believe to the earth, but other believes he's standing at the door so that each one that comes before him, he's ready to judge whether they will enter in or they will be cast out into outer darkness. So the phrase of the door is opportunity, place to enter in. It's used for the preaching of the gospel. It's used for the judgment of Christ as he stands at the door. But in the two instances in the book of Revelation, Revelation 3:8 and here in 4:1, the exact same phrasing has to do with the door open for the church to go through. Again, I said the third thing about the first voice in chapter 1, verse 10 is what he's making reference to. He says, the first voice which I heard as a sound of a shofar, sounding. Now, just for your, just to add a little entertainment to our gathering together, this is a shofar. It's authentic. It's actually literally a ram's horn. It's not something they made up to look like one. This is actually a ram's horn. And because it is from an animal, it has to be cleaned a certain way with baking soda, and it has to sit for quite a few days to keep it clean. So it is a ram's horn. Now, I'm going to play this, so if you're ear sensitive, I don't know how loud it's going to come out, but it might break your glasses. But this is what the priests would do for the call of the gathering together of Israel for the feasts. That's your ram's horn. And so when people heard the ram's horn sound, they would know it was time to come and gather together. I got to thinking, you know how I think. I'm walking around the church with my ram's horn and thinking, you know, they used to have a bell up there. And it doesn't work anymore because it's all disconnected and everything. I had to just stand out on the porch at 10 o'clock every Sunday morning, just blow the ram's horn. Yes. but that is interesting, the shofar horn in the form of a voice, so it would be very noticeable and understandable to John. He knows that sound. But it's not just a horn sounding, it's the voice of the Lord. I think it's very interesting. I also find it interesting, two other places in which the shofar horn is found is in the two places that talk about believers and their entrance into heaven. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 at verse 13, our focus is 1 Thessalonians 4:16, but 1 Thessalonians 4:13, this is Paul ministering to the Christians in Thessalonica because someone had come into town, or at least there was a rumor that the church was already taken and that they were in the tribulation period, and that those loved ones who had died prior to this age in which they're living, they were still in the grave. Did they miss it? Did we miss it? The coming of Christ? Were we left behind and were we left to suffer what is called the tribulation period? Paul says, 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, about the ones who have fallen asleep. In the early church, they called Christians who died, they called them sleeping because death was too final. The person's not dead. The body might be dead, but they are not dead. So they called them sleeping. That you not grieve as the rest also that have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, also God will also bring with him all the ones who have fallen asleep through Jesus. For we say this to you in the word of the Lord, that we, the ones who are living and remaining to the coming of the Lord, we will not all go before the ones who have fallen asleep. Because the Lord himself shall come down from heaven with a command, with the shout of the voice of the archangel, and with the shofar of God. And the dead ones in Christ will rise again first. Then we who remain and alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds for a meeting with the Lord in the air. So we will always be with the Lord. So then comfort each one another with these words. But then chapter 5. I have to get into chapter 5 here and read a couple of verses there because everybody reads chapter 4 as a presentation. This is Paul's encouragement about the Lord coming. The dead, those who have fallen asleep in Christ, they will rise first. And then we who remain on the earth, we will rise up together, and together we will meet the Lord in the air. But when is this about to happen? If you don't understand the argument of 1 Thessalonians, the fact that they were told that they were in the tribulation period and that they had missed it, and all those who had died before, they missed it too, meant great anxiety for them. In chapter 5, if you keep going, it says, but about the times and seasons, brothers, you have no need for it to be written. For you yourselves know accurately that the day of the Lord is coming as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, like the birth pains to the one having a child in the womb. And they shall not escape, not one. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of the light, and sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. So then, we should not sleep as the rest do also. Now he's making reference to a deceitful slumbering, as if we're sleepwalking here on the earth, but we should be awake and we should be sober. For the ones sleeping sleep by night, and the ones who are drunk by night. But we being of the day should be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love and hope of salvation as a helmet. Because God has not appointed us to wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Key verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, God has not appointed us unto wrath. He's telling them, you're not in the tribulation period. This is for the wrath and judgment of God upon the earth, not his people, but we are appointed for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has died on our behalf, so that whether we're awake or whether we're sleeping, we may live together with him. So he says, the day's not going to overtake you as a thief in the night, because you're of the day and you're sons of the light. In other words, when the Lord comes, you're gone. There's no chance of you being left behind. There's no chance in that day overtaking you as a thief in the night. Why? Because we're of Christ. We're not going to rise up because our minds are fixed on proper doctrine, or our minds are fixed on, okay, I'm waiting for the Lord to come. I even know of heard of messages where people say that if your mind is involved in things other than expecting the coming of the Lord and he should come, you're not going. You're not ready. They say ready means that all the time you're walking around, everything that you do, you're waiting for the coming of the Lord, and that those people are going to go. But the Bible teaches that if you're in Christ, Christ is in you, you're ready. No matter what you're doing, you're going. It's not going to take you by surprise. It's not going to overtake you. It's for the judgment of people on the earth who have rejected the Lord. And it is interesting that it is the shofar of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 through 58, here's what Paul says. 1 Corinthians 15, 50 to 58, he said, I say this, brothers, that flesh and blood are not able to inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last shofar. For a shofar will sound, and the dead ones will be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. He's just describing what he talked about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In a moment, twinkle of an eye, at the last shofar. For a shofar will sound, and the dead ones will be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal put on immortality, then will come to pass or be fulfilled the word that says, death was swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? Hades, where is your victory? Now the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, the one giving us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, my beloved brothers, you be firm, immovable, abounding in the work of the Lord always, knowing that your labor is not in vain or fruitless in the Lord. Very detailed accounts presented to us. First of all, that we are going to be taken up. And some people say, well, you know, in that text you read, there is no a term there for the rapture. The word rapture is not found in the Bible. But what is interesting is that when in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, when it says that we are caught up, that's harpazo in Greek, the Latin translation has the word raptus. The Latin word raptus is the Latin equivalent to the Greek harpazo. There are people that I've talked with in the past, and they said they've come to me and they said, you know, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says you confess the name of Jesus Christ, that God will do anything that you ask. So knowing where they're coming from, I have to pull rank on them a little bit and just say, well, you know, it doesn't say that. It says Yeshua HaMashiach. It doesn't say Jesus Christ. That's English. So you got the wrong formula. Or if you want to use Greek, Jesus Christos. But it didn't say Jesus Christ. It is interesting that in the Bible, you can say, well, it doesn't say the rapture. Well, it does in the Latin translation. But it says there's a harpazo, a catching up, a snatching away of people coming to Christ. So whether it's English, Greek, Hebrew, or Latin, all the words mean the same thing. Say, well, there's no word rapture. Well, that's what it's called. It's called the rapture. It is in the Latin translation, but if you want to be real picky, it doesn't say caught up either. It says harpazo. So if you're not saying harpazo, you're not going, you know. It's interesting how in our English Bibles, all the divisions of the churches, and most of it's over what the English Bible says or which English Bible you use. And they make a big deal about it. One man that we had in one of our classes came and said that the name of his church was a certain name because it was found in the Bible. And I asked what that was, and he told me what it was. I says, no, that name's not in the Bible. What? Look, right here. I said, no, that's the English translation. You know, if you want to be a literal church, if you want to be literal about it, and I gave him the Greek name, I says, you have to be that, or else it's not genuine. So, you know, when it's how nitpicky we get, you know, and if an English translation says things a certain way and you like it better, then that's what it says, you know, and even though literally it might not say that, it might not even mean it, but it's the Word of God. So, the first voice that I heard as a shofar speaking with me, it's the same trumpet, it's the same shofar that's going to blow, that's going to summon all of God's people out of the graves and summon all of God's people off this earth and up into the air to meet the Lord in the air. And when that happens, according to Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 that we just read, is that in a moment, in a second, twinkling of an eye, less than a second, though our physical bodies will be raised from out of the grave, they will all be changed into spiritual bodies. And that will be our habitation throughout eternity. Fifthly, notice what the trumpet or shofar said to him. Come up here, and I will show you what is necessary to happen after these things. After what things? After the things of chapters 2 and 3. Whatever he's viewing, you got to know two things. Number one, John had to be caught up in the spirit realm and taken up into heaven to see what's going on so that he's not down there when it happens. And secondly, his view is from heaven, not from the earth, because he's not there. He's up in heaven. He is not there to experience what is happening on the earth. He is there to experience what's happening in heaven, what's coming out of heaven, and what's being thrown down upon the earth by way of judgment from his viewpoint. But chapter 1 shows us, even though it doesn't say rapture, even though many believe at this point, everything, all the evidences are there that the church will not be here during the tribulation period. It goes with all the promises of Scripture. It goes along with 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, I happen to be one of those that hold to the view that the church will be raptured, caught up, harpazo, before the tribulation period. And again, the body of Christ is divided. And do you know that everybody's right? Everybody's right. I know that the Lord is going to remove me and the church before the tribulation period. And for those who believe that the church is going through the tribulation period, I believe they will. They are going to go through the tribulation period. You ever listen to the rest of the doctrines they proclaim? You know why they're going through the tribulation period. Everybody's right. They're professing something that they're going to go through. And I have no argument at all. Some believe the church is going to be raptured after the tribulation period, not in the middle of the tribulation period. Well, they'll go through the whole thing too. There's no doubt in my mind that God has not chosen his church, his people, to experience the judgment and wrath of God upon the earth to a non-believing, rejecting people of Christ. For one thing, they're not there. They're gone. For another thing, we've been appointed not unto wrath, but unto salvation. Thirdly, we'll see in Revelation chapter 7 that there'll be 144,000 Jews, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes, who will be sealed, who are going to be here on the earth, and they're the ones that are going to be testifying and witnessing. It's Israel. It's believing Jews from Israel, 12,000 from the 12 tribes. They are the ones that are going to represent the Lord, and they are sealed so that they cannot be harmed by anything. There's no mention of the church in there at all. That we're there, that we're sealed, or we're not sealed, or this is God saying, this is just something for you guys too, I'm going to bring my wrath on you too. There's no doubt in my mind that all the scriptures point to the very thing that John experienced in chapter 4, verse 1, and that when we are caught up, raptured in Christ Jesus, that we're going to be able to see and behold all of the things that John saw around the throne. Next week, we will begin our study in verses 2 through 8, all of the nine things that John saw around the throne and the four activities that John saw happening. We're actually going to see that happen. We're going to see chapter 5 happen. We're going to see the judgments poured out happen from heaven. But Paul says, comfort one another with these things. No comfort to me to find out that if you're not always thinking about the rapture, you might not go. That's not very comforting, you know? Not comforting to me to know that we're going through the tribulation period. That has no value to me. If the Lord wants me to go through it, I guess I will. But he'll still be with me, whether I do or I don't. You know, it's going to be part of his will. But there's no doubt that the scripture points to a very comforting rescue for God's people from out of judgment. The tribulation period is judgment. It's not growth, spiritual growth. It's judgment. If you receive Christ during the tribulation period, you're actually put to death. And that's even those who receive Christ during the tribulation period, they get rid of them. There can be no believers here on the earth. They'll kill you. I don't see the church going through that. In fact, it doesn't present that the church is going to be killed during the tribulation period. But we have some great things to study. We also have presented to us the description of the throne in Ezekiel chapter 1. You might want to read up on this. Ezekiel chapter 1 and Isaiah chapter 6. Ezekiel chapter 1 and Isaiah chapter 6 present to us the same vision with different details about what's happening. I love the description, especially in Ezekiel, with the wheels. Have you ever read about the wheels? I'll have those wheels for you. I had the shofar for you this morning, but literally, you'll see the wheels upon which the living creatures function on. Now, it's not that I got an original, but I do have for you what those wheels are. So we'll take that up next week, and it's interesting that we've had two chapters that covered the Lord's last message to the church before he comes back, but it's interesting that we have some, 18 or so chapters that's going to describe heaven, what it's going to be like in heaven before the throne, and what it's going to be like on the earth. God brings judgment. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come together to read and study the gospel, the good news. We're so thankful that the good news is that your Spirit is calling those to receive Christ, that they might be saved now, that they might be comforted now, that when Christ comes, they are going to leave. It's so important and urgent that people know that waiting for a later time to receive and surrender to Christ is not wise. People will still have an opportunity, but they will be killed during the tribulation period. Far more easier under grace to surrender and receive Christ. Stop trying to get out of this earthly life every day that we can for ourselves. Lord, we pray that as Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that we would be comforted with these words, that when we hear the sound of the shofar of God collecting his people together for a meeting in the air, a convocation, just like the children of Israel of old, that we are going to go. We're going to be caught up, changed, and forever be with the Lord. With all the hard times here on the earth that we're going through, we take comfort in knowing that we're going to leave anytime soon, and that this is not our home. We're just passing through. And for that, we're relieved. For that, we take comfort by your Spirit, because you will be with us and never leave us or forsake us. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.